Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today, the text for our sermon is actually the Old Testament reading, also with keeping our gospel reading and the resurrection of Jesus at the forefront of our minds and hearts. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has thus been destroyed, and yet in my flesh I shall see God." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know my Redeemer lives. The verse, the part of the scriptures that hymn we just sang is based off of, from the Old Testament, from one of the oldest books in the scripture, from the book of Job. I know my Redeemer lives. Today, from that short passage, from that verse, Job teaches us that his Redeemer is God himself, that God redeems us from sin, that God will himself take flesh in his Son, Jesus Christ. He will die on the cross and he will pull the greatest prank, the biggest joke that's ever been pulled in the history of mankind. Jesus Christ rises from the dead. The story of Job is one where God is presented to us kind of as a prankster, kind of a trickster, someone who is pulling kind of a joke. I mean, who doesn't love a great prank? With the popularity of YouTube and television shows and all the various social media outlets, Instagram, everything, almost every other video is a practical joke, a prank. People pranking their friends, families, and even enemies. Sometimes pulling a great prank on an enemy is better than inflicting physical punishment. I've heard people even say, "I was so embarrassed, I would rather have died." Today I want us to contemplate the story of Job, that it teaches us that God is almost like a prankster. It appears to Job and everyone that the devil may win the day. But in the end, God uses what the devil thinks is his greatest victory, and God uses it against him. He turns the tables. He pranks the devil. But if you know anything about the book of Job, that's the last thing on Job's mind as the book progresses along. God is not pranking Job. The scriptures tell us our Lord does not afflict his saints from his heart, meaning he doesn't do it out of joy. God isn't out to get laughs. He doesn't take your suffering lightly, nor did he take Job's suffering lightly. But God takes what the devil thinks is his sealed case. God takes what the devil thinks is his greatest weapon, and God uses suffering and death to destroy the devil. Psalm 37 says, "The Lord laughs in the heavens at the wicked." And today we laugh with him. I know my Redeemer lives. But if you know, Job's not laughing in the book of Job. Not a book known for jokes. Job's story is not one that many of us would like to emulate. At the beginning of the book, of course, Job is rather successful. He's a great story, a great picture. He's got a big family. He's got a great job. He's got homes. He's got his health. He even has God who brags about his faith. God looks at the devil and says, "Devil, have you seen my servant Job? He is blameless." And if you remember, the devil fights back. He says, "Oh God, Job only has faith in you because everything's going good for him. Let me have my turn at him and he will curse you, God. He will give up his faith." God says, "Go ahead. Do your best. Only don't take his life. God is protecting Job's life. God is the protector of our life. He is the one who gives and takes away life. God lays his servant Job bare, no defense, no protection, and allows the devil to do what he wants. And oh, does he whip up a storm for Job. God, though, it's interesting. God, who brags about Job, he can do that because God knows that he is the author and perfecter of Job's faith. God knows that the strength and foundation of Job's faith is God himself. So God is willing to let the devil have his way with Job because that's the prank. God is the object of Job's faith, and so God is going to use what the devil thinks is his greatest works against him. So then the story carries on. This is what the book of Job is known for: tragedy. But I think we should change that, and we should see the book of Job as a great proclamation of God's faithfulness and protection for his people. But we ask, when we hear of Job's story progressing, we say, well, what did Job do to deserve this? What did Job do to deserve God strengthening his faith with suffering? Was it some sick joke? The believability of a prank is what makes for a great joke. Stringing your victim along where they don't know what's happening but are fully caught up in the joke. God is not pranking Job, but God is turning Job's suffering into his joy, into his trophy. We wonder, could all that bad stuff really happen to one guy? It certainly did. All the things that Job lost in his life, God had given him all these gifts, and then the devil took them all away. Family, home, job, health. We know our own weaknesses. We know how maybe we would not have been as steadfast as Job. We know our weaknesses. We know we have our limits. We've seen them in our own life, where our circumstances aren't anywhere near Job's. And we have pointed the finger at God and said, "You are just doing this to hurt me." We shudder and question how a man like Job could endure in such difficult circumstances when we are so feeble. But this is part of the book of Job. Just in this verse, "I know my Redeemer lives," Job, from suffering, is able to teach us three truths about God. That God is faithful. That the same God who preserved Job throughout all his trials and temptation, the same God who kept him faithful, is the same God that we see today made good on his promise. "I know my Redeemer lives." The first of those three things is that Job knows that his Redeemer is God. Now, if you remember the book of Job, the first people that come to Job are his friends. They ask him, "Job, what did you do to deserve all this?" "Or your kids who have just died, Job. They must have been pretty wicked. Surely God doesn't just cause suffering like this as a joke." Well, they were right. God doesn't cause suffering for no reason. Maybe you've wondered that in your suffering. Perhaps you have suffered like Job. I think that's part of the relatability of Job, is in all his suffering, we can see little pictures of ourselves. It's no laughing matter. I know many of you have suffered greatly in this life, and I too have had my fair share of wounds. I've walked with many of you through very difficult times. And at times we wished it was a joke. We've buried our friends and family. Some who've died all too young, like Job burying his children, you too have buried your young ones. Like Job, some of you have suffered physical agony, where scraping your skin with a piece of pottery seems like a moment of relief. And it turns out Job is very believable. None of us get out of this world unscathed. The devil is very active. He is very busy. And he wants us to be angry. He wants us to seek vengeance. To even, as what did they say today is, a day of vengeance. And because of our sin, we have to say we deserve it. But here is why Job can confess his Redeemer is divine. That in spite of how things look, the reason God can allow suffering is because he is being God. Him being God can use suffering not to destroy your faith, but to strengthen your faith. The devil in our sinful flesh thinks that suffering will cause us to lose, to never recover, to never find joy and completeness. But that is only if our faith and trust is in ourself. Only if our faith and trust is in our possessions or in our good health. But Job, when all of those things are taken away, gives us a proclamation that stands today, thousands of years, and will stand until Christ returns. I know my Redeemer lives. It was suffering that caused that bold proclamation. And think of it. This was the cross on Good Friday. Everything looked to be a loss. But as Jesus was dying, it was really his victory. Jesus is using death to destroy death, the greatest prank known in the history of the universe. Job knows his Redeemer is God, so death will not win. The cross defines our suffering. The first truth that we're taught by Job today is that our Redeemer is divine. He is God. The second truth is that he is a Redeemer. Redeem means to buy back. Job needs someone to buy him back. He is sold. He has no control over what's happening to him. What Job has learned from his suffering and what we learn is that things are kind of out of our control. We can't just stop our suffering whenever we want. Job is powerless. Death looms, and it seems to own all of us. That our sin, it seems, that we've sold ourselves to sin. St. Paul in Romans 7 says, I am of the flesh, sold under sin. He says, I am sold under sin because I do not understand my own actions. I don't do what I want, but the very thing I hate, that is what I do. I don't know about you, but I can relate not only with Job, but also with Paul. Sold under sin, doing what I don't want to do, like a slave to sin. It appears as if Job was a slave to the punishment for his sin and death. But even in the midst of this, Job knows God is his Redeemer. God will purchase his freedom. I know my Redeemer lives. God himself will take on flesh in Christ Jesus. He will give up his life. The blameless servant of God will be laid bare with no protection. But here, God does not step in and say, you cannot have his life. Job is a picture of Jesus Christ, except God removes the hedge of the protection of his life. That is to purchase you. That is to pay for your sins. It might seem like a joke, too good to be true, but God is not out to prank you. Well, he isn't out to joke with you, but he does pull a fast one. When you see so many reasons for him not to forgive you, when your death is on your doorstep, when your body is failing, when your flesh is weakening, when you think all is lost and all you have waiting for you is hell and punishment, when you close your eyes in death, God pulls a fast one. He delivers you to eternal life. where there is no punishment, but glory. And we too in the resurrection will receive 10 times what we have lost, even as Job lost his possessions, his family, his health. Job now is restored and sees the truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God, who's told you all along, I forgive you. God, who saved you through the washing of rebirth and baptism. God, who said, I am always with you. God, who has fed you by the body and blood of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, and says, all your sins are forgiven. When we die, we will see that it was no joke. He was not lying. The prank is on the devil, who's tried to tell us that we are bought and sold in sin. There's no hope. Jesus says, nope. God gives his Son Jesus to purchase you from sin and death. Job knows God is his Redeemer. So we know Job's Redeemer is divine. He is a Redeemer. He purchases us back. And finally, Job teaches us that our Redeemer lives. That's why we're here today. That's why we've gone through all this trouble of Easter preparations, our fasts during Lent, to prepare us for this day when we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Job says, oh, that this were written. Oh, that everyone could see this. Job, who didn't have YouTube, no Instagram, no X. But Job says, if I could have recorded this, and he does. Oh, that my words were written. The Lord God, Jesus Christ, has pulled the greatest prank ever. God himself died so that you would live, that God would become man, lay himself bare. And God says to you, have you considered my servant, Jesus Christ? He allows the grave to swallow him so that he could burst forth and prank death. This morning, the women at the tomb, they thought they had been pranked. Where is he? What kind of sick joke is this? They were afraid, but Jesus was raised. Job is a picture of Jesus and a picture of us. Although our Job and Jesus Christ, he is not saved, but he's given over to death that he may be raised, and you will too. I'm reminded, well, since it's Easter, I guess I have to say something about a rabbit. I'm reminded of Bugs Bunny, one of the greatest pranksters of all. Remember, old Elmer Fudd was always trying to shoot Bugs Bunny with his old rifle. He would draw his gun, and Bugs Bunny would distract him some way, and he'd turn that barrel of Elmer Fudd's gun 180 degrees right back in his face. And Elmer Fudd, when he pulls the trigger, thinks he's putting an end to old Bugs Bunny, but in the end, shoots himself. The devil thought by killing Jesus, he would end him. But Jesus used his death to destroy death. The devil thought that by causing all the suffering in Job's life, he would cause Job to reject his Redeemer, to turn from his God. But instead, the devil has given us one of the greatest Easter proclamations that Christians will sing until Christ returns, all because of suffering. The devil thought this would cause Job to give up God, but in the end, it caused God to grab onto Job all the more tightly. So also for you. Jesus shows us that all who are in him will also be with him on the greatest prank ever to happen, when we all come out of our graves, body and soul, healed perfectly, never to be pranked again. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.